Wie heißen Sie? This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with instant illumination. Wie heißen Sie? What is your name? This is a question that we are asked very often. And I tell the girls here at campus, that is the monks who are sitting around the meal table with me, around the board, and I say, monks, wie heißen Sie? Or wie heißt du? That's less formal, you know. What are you called? What are you called? Wie heißt du, Ellen? What are you called? Ingeborg? Wie heißt du? Sylvia? She's more formal. Wie heißen Sie, Sylvia?
Sylvia. Sylvia Maria Engs.
Yes, and that's where your trouble comes in. Sylvia Maria Enns calls herself Sylvia Maria Enns, and she is not Sylvia Maria Enns. I have told her 100 million times she is not Sylvia Maria Enns. Somebody fooled her at the time she was born. She is not Sylvia Maria Enns. She is God. Ingeborg, you got a complaint about that?
No.
Ellen, you got a complaint?
No.
Rex, love, you got a complaint about that? No. So, wie heißen Sie?
God.
Mein Gott, you got
Gott.
It.
Mein Gott.
You got it. Okay.
Mein Gott, you are.
Now, Herb, you're just making fun here. Oh, no, 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 no. No. Sylvia, wie heißt du?
Gott.
Say it in German.
Ich heiße Gott.
Was denn werden wir?
Mein Name ist Gott.
Dein Name ist Gott. Your name is God. Now, when are you God?
Immer.
All the Zeit.
Yeah.
You are always God. All the time you're God.
Yes.
Okay, now. Can you ever not be God?
No. Impossible.
You certainly do the impossible sometimes, though. You tell me there are things that are not working out perfectly for you, and then you say you're God. Now, can God ever say that something doesn't work out perfect?
Nope.
Nope. And you see, you can't sit there and shake your head no, because the tape recorder doesn't record your head shaking, unless you are the dog in the jungle, George of the Jungle, you know. That is an elephant, the baby elephant. Plum, plum, plum. Okay, now, Sylvia tells me, I won't be able to get this done. Sylvia tells me, I'm in a hurry. Sylvia tells me, oh, I have so many things to do. Sylvia tells me, I have nothing to do. Sylvia tells me, oh, I'm so bored. Sylvia tells me, oh, I am so overloaded with things that I'm just so happy doing, I have a hard time picking out which one to do first, you know. Sylvia tells me all this stuff. Now, could God ever talk like that? And the answer is no. God would never make a comparison to anything. God would just say, I feel like playing tennis. And he's right in the middle of playing chess with somebody else. And so he gets up and goes and plays chess, tennis. And what does the person that he's playing chess with do? He goes and has a cigar and sits on a porch and talks to his friends. When God comes back, then he finishes playing chess. He's not disturbed in the slightest. Now, when would the chess partner, God's chess partner, be disturbed?
If God would be disturbed.
If God would think that his chess partner would be disturbed by him getting up to go and play chess because he felt like going, play tennis because he felt like going and playing tennis. You see, the moment you think anybody has an opinion about anything, they have. The moment you think someone likes what you're doing, they do. If they don't like you think they don't like what you're doing, they don't. And they don't even know what you're doing. They have to ask you, what are you doing? Oh, I don't like that. Or if you think they like it, they say, what are you doing? Oh, I'm doing this. Oh, that's so wonderful. Oh, that is so great. And, you know, they have to do whatever is your opinion of yourself. Now, God is that way. God does not conceive of anything in its world that is not harmonious with it. God does not conceive of a dog come growling at it, does it?
No.
God does not conceive of a rainy day that it doesn't want.
No.
God does not conceive of anything that is inharmonious with its choice. Now, can you be any less God than that?
No.
No. You were thinking I was going to say, can you be any more? Yeah. No. Can you be any less God than that? No. You, Ellen?
Yes.
No, it's no. You have the responsibility to do one thing.
To be myself and have fun.
You have the responsibility to
be God.
To be the role model for yourself.
Of course.
Of course. Yeah, see, after I give her the answer, then she got the answer. How would anyone know? Anyhow, you have the opportunity to be the role model for yourself. And what kind of a role model are you playing for yourself? Are you a winner every time?
Oh.
Are you happy every time? Are your kids doing the right things at all times? Do you always have plenty of money? Do you always have plenty of happiness? Is job every job that you ask to be done, done perfectly? Da, 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 and on and on and on and on. And I think it's up to you to start counting now. And Ingeborg, is there anybody in this world that is equal to how wonderful you are?
Yes.
Yeah, your answer is yes, but yes what?
God.
Everyone.
Everyone.
Everyone, right. Everyone. Everyone is equal to how wonderful you are. Now, Will Rogers, he was a newspaper writer and a comic, and he would say, he has never met a man he didn't like. Never met anyone he didn't like. And he would say, when people would say, well, Will, what do you think of this? I don't know. All I know is what I read in the newspapers. Whatever I read in the newspapers, that's what I know. And he became quoted worldwide for such silly remarks, which are deep, but they're silly. Anybody else say them, you say, that's all? Is you only read the newspapers? You don't talk to people? You're not aware of what goes on television and radio? You know, you're unaware of what's going on in the world? You got eyes and ears and nose and so on, and you don't know what's going on? The only thing you know is what you read in the newspaper? Now, you see, if they would say that to you, that's what they would say. They'd say, you stupid person, you know, only knowing what's in the newspaper. But when Will Rogers said it, and he said it was such confidence and such surety, you know, everybody said, okay, you know, all I know is what I read in the newspapers, you know. Beautiful, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Now, we saw Art Linkletter, and kids say the darndest things, and all of them weren't that good, but most of them were pretty good, and they had the kids talking in riddles occasionally, and I don't remember the riddles that they gave, but they were some pretty excellent riddles. Some pretty, pretty wonderful riddles. They either thought deeply about it or they heard from somebody about it. I had never heard some of the riddles in that way, and they're very beautifully done. Now, it's a twist on what you think, and you expect one answer. You expect one response because it's the most natural thing in the world. Or you heard that joke before, you know. That's the worst of it. If you heard it before, then you don't think it's something new. And so then when these kids came up with something new, oh, they're beautiful. And the kid says, he was asked, you know, oh, what kind of work does your father do? I don't know. He just goes to work, brings home money and beer, and sits around and drinks, you know. Oh, does your father ever get drunk? Oh, yeah, often, you know. And when is your mother the happiest? When she and father are drinking beer together. And my goodness sake, you know, the parents had to give permission for the kids to say this afterwards. They saw that before they put it on the air. And the parents had, I would never approve that. Mm-hmm. I would, but you see, those parents, that was what they do. And that's how they are. And they thought, oh, my kid's going to be on television. My kid's going to be on, mm-hmm. you know. But yeah, you know. And there was one kid, all the kids were pretty good, but there was one kid who was a clown. And so at one point, the kid goes, ah, you know, throwing his arms out and his head up in the air, and the cameraman went back to get him, just for a flash, back to get him in that crazy pose and then on with the rest of the show. But interesting. Now, who knows? That kid might have been invited to be on the Mickey Mousers, you know, on the Mouseketeers, because he had such a character and such a charisma and such an imagination. Because, you know, they don't want kids who sit around doing nothing. They don't want kids who have no pizzazz to them, you know. They want someone with the charisma and imagination with them that's going to do something. Now, what kind of a role model are you to yourself? And don't answer me, because you'd be lying. But think about the kind of role model you are to yourself. Now, if you were this role model to somebody else, what would somebody else do? If you complained every time you did something, what would other people do hearing it? If children were hearing you, what would they do? They'd soon be complaining about everything too. If you said some things were too big or too little, or you can't lift this or you can't do that. You girls, you have these 5-gallon drums of water that you put on the special containers here, and you say, oh dear, that's too heavy for me, that's too much for me, that's too much. Well, you're a bunch of sillies. If children were watching you, they'd say, my gosh, let me show you how to do it, Mom. And so then 5 kids would get there, some would stand on the sink and some down below, and he'd hoist the thing up and put it in place and not drop a drop. Now, why couldn't 5 of you do that? Because there's only 3 of you, huh? Mm-hmm, yeah. But why don't you think of doing it that way? Now, I used to watch how you did it, and then I would clumsily need to have a stepladder and everything else to get up there and do it. And then I watched Brian do it one day. And Brian used one arm to curl and lift, and he used the other arm to tip it and put it in place. And I thought, I could do that. So I put it on the sink, and I curled one arm underneath it, my left arm. And I helped my left arm lift it up. And then when I got it positioned, I took my right arm and took the handle and just tilted it right into place and dropped it right onto the place it's supposed to be, and not a drop was spilled. It went gluck, and then right into place. Now, how long had it been until I finally saw Brian do that? How long had I strained with step stools and things like that to get it up in there, because it was just a little bit out of my reach, my range, you know? But the moment I did it properly, like Brian did — Brian is a big hunk of man, and so, but nonetheless, I don't have his hunk, but I've got his brains, I think, you know, at least. And so when I saw him use his left arm, I thought, hey, great. Now, if I take my left arm and my right arm and push up, I got the strength of Brian's left arm. And then, after I pushed it up, then I take the right arm and tilt it over and put it in place, and it's in pretty perfect. And I just jog it a little bit to make it straight. But, you see, I had to be my own role model, Johnny come lately. But I was my own role model. And I want to be a little more attentive to being my role model. A little more. Is there anything you can do?
Yes.
Is there anything you can't do?
No. Yes. You don't really know.
You see, you can do anything. You can do anything if you just allow yourself to use your imagination. Why does it take 5 kids to lift something? Because one of them has to be the brains. One of them has to think the project up. The other one has to think, well, now, where do we want to put it? And the other one says, put it here, and the other one puts it there. You know? Basically, that's the way it goes. And that's what you're doing with your stem cells. You're telling your stem cells, this is how I want you to work. Instead of just saying, okay, boys, heave-ho! And in she goes. And it's beautiful. Be a role model for yourself. Be a role model for your dog, your cat, for anyone in your world. Be a role model. I've gotten so now that I walk with Rex, and if he doesn't want to walk along with me, I just say, okay, go ahead, I don't care where you go. And then I go on my way, and if I say, Rex, it's so nice to have you — I talk to him when he's not even there — Rex, it's so nice to have you with me here. It's so much fun to go for a walk with you. You're such a delightful — and up along he comes, you know. I expect it. Now, is it going to be every time? Sure. I'm working on it. I'm building my consciousness to remember to do it. And that's the point. Remember to be the role model that I am for myself. And you, remember to be the role model you am for yourself. And when you remember to be the role model that you are for yourself all the time, then life is a lot of fun. But when you don't, then you're going to put the coffee jar lid on crooked. And it's no sense having the coffee jar lid on to keep the coffee fresh, because it's crooked so the cool night air can get in there and do all those things, you know. And if you don't immediately take the eggs and put them back in the refrigerator, then you might as well leave them out. A lot of people leave their eggs out anyhow. But do you want to?
No.
And the reason you don't want to is because you are not the farmer's wife. You didn't pick up the eggs this morning, and you know that they have a freshness capability of a week outside of the nest. But the thing is, how long have they been at the grocery store? And how long are they here and there? It's here. Fresh eggs, yeah. We picked them last week, you know, and so, you know, fresh eggs. So, you see, these are things you got to know. Not that you have to know how fresh they are, but always put things away. Always be orderly. Always do everything that you'd like how everyone else to do it. You do it first. And then, being the role model, if people follow you, great. If nobody follows you, fine. You put it away and it's the way you like it. You know? Now, this noon I looked out here on the porch and I saw a bunch of napkins had blown on the floor. And I thought, I could walk out there and pick up those napkins and put them away and so forth. But no, that's something that Ingeborg likes to do. So I told Ingeborg, there's some napkins on the floor out in the deck. And she could well have said, well, why didn't you pick them up, you know? What's the matter with you? You got problems bending over or something like that? You know? But no, she didn't say that. She knew that that was her responsibility, and so she picked them up. And beautifully done. And the same with each one of you. And Sylvia, oh, I tell you, she was willing to cheat me this morning. She was right willing to cheat me this morning. You know what she did? She broke 3 eggs for my breakfast, and 1 egg had 2 yolks in it. And she was going to slip that second yolk out for herself and eat it herself, because she knew then she'd have part of my yolk. And she thought that was a big yolk. But no. Watch these things. Be aware of these things. I'm aware. And I notice that your frying pan is not level. And so things slide to the back or slide to the front, and your grease slides to the front or back, the butter or whatever. We have levels here. And you could level something for that. But, of course, that table is going to be there. You could set it on that table and level it. So level it the way it should be leveled. And then it'll always be level. And when you put your butter on your stove, it'll just sort of stay where you put it, because it won't go wandering, because it's level. If it's not level, it wanders to the little gutters, you know, doesn't it? So just think of all these little things, because these little things make all the difference in the world, you know. And when you're having your little trash container, where you put your little trash things in after you're done trashing with, if you have it on the side counter there, no one's going to put trash in it, because you got to get up and go over and put trash in and then come back and sit down. Have it on your Lazy Susan. It's far more valuable than the candle. But the candle's okay too, but have your little trash thing right there, you know? And a lot of these things, you know. What did you have for supper tonight? Meat.
Chicken sausage.
Oh, you had sausage, yeah. So then you got butter and ketchup and mustard and
relish.
And who's drinking milk tonight? Who's drinking milk any time of the evening? Well, then I wouldn't put that on the table. I'd put that on the sideboard. If it's necessary, you can go get it. You follow me? And who's using jelly? How much bread have you had put on the table tonight?
None.
Then the jelly should be over there on the sideboard. And what did you use this stuff? Did you take this
vegetable?
Did you put that on there?
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice. But all I'm saying, and what is this doing on the table? What is this doing on the Lazy Susan? Shame, shame, shame.
Who has none?
The salt shaker should be in front of your place and the pepper shaker. Each one of you have your own salt and pepper shaker. Yeah?
Yeah, yes.
So consider these things and be orderly. And what's another thing that we never do when we have a puppy who loves to smoke? We do not leave the matches available to him.
Yeah.
We don't leave the matches on the coffee table in the living room because we haven't really taught him to leave them alone. It's not he's going to hurt himself with the matches, but it's a matter that we must teach him. No. And he'll learn. So, along with all that role model stuff, what kind of a role model are you? If you were doing these things and you had little children around here who were learning from you and learning all of your habits, I think that they would be a long time growing up, you know? A long time growing up. So, watch it. Grin and bear it, and remember, you too can be wonderful, because that's the way I see you.
Thank you.
I love you. I love you. I love you.